you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you today about power through weakness. You feeling weak today? Do you know that lovely hymn which comes from this passage in Jeremiah 31:3? We are loved, the Bible tells us, with an everlasting love. Let me read it to you directly from the Bible. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. And there's a hymn, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his, and he is mine. The Holy Spirit teaches us that we are loved. He explains that it is everlasting, unchangeable, unlimited. And therefore, God says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now the truth is, which I'm sure we're all aware of, we are not by nature lovable. We need help. We need all the help we can get. I do anyway, don't you? I'm unworthy, of course. I'm selfish. That's the way I was born. I'm unloving. Love doesn't come naturally, not the kind of love that the Bible describes. Have you ever tried loving somebody who's unworthy, or selfish, or unloving? Well, I'm sure that every single person that's listening to me can think of someone with those characteristics that perhaps you've even given up on by now, or you've been struggling and trying to learn to love that person. We can't do it by ourselves, can we? We need all the help we can get. And of course, we're always tempted to say, yes, but he, why doesn't he do this or that? As long as she does so and so and so and so, how am I supposed to love her? And but after what she did to me, etc. Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 33:26-29, and I think you'll recognize some of the words from this passage. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's verse 27 from Deuteronomy 33. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. Sometimes you've heard me say on Gateway to Joy, every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy. Does that sound to you like a wildly optimistic view? Well, you're right about that. It is wildly optimistic, but not really wildly, because the grace of God is just that. It is beyond our wildest imaginings that the Prince of Glory, the infinite majesty, the Creator of the stars, should love us so much and humble himself so drastically and stoop to our human weakness as to offer his power and his love and his salvation. I mean, that is really almost unbelievable, isn't it, when we think about it? And yet, we are asked to believe that because that is the message of Scripture from beginning to end. He loves us with an everlasting love. And nothing that we ever can do will change the fact that he loves us. Now, to whom am I speaking today who feels his own weakness? Perhaps you feel far from God, yet you're aware of needing help. Here's a letter from a listener. Approximately 18 months ago, I spent 6 weeks in a state mental hospital for depression. I had been saved for years. I completely committed while in the hospital, and I became a new man. A part of releasing the terminal fear was to acknowledge that God had control over life or death of my wife and 5 children. I gave complete trust to him and knew that his plan for me and everyone is for the best. The next year was the greatest in my marriage and in all my relationships. I have weaned off all medication and have done well for nearly 1 year. In February, my wife died, 44 years old, from asthma. My complete trust in my Lord, that he has the best for me, has sustained me. His joy has comforted me through this time. My children and I have learned valuable lessons and acquired another notch in our character that we could not have learned any other way. From my worldly past, I have never entered into marriage sexually pure. I have prayed and been blessed with the chance to marry a godly woman. I wish to enter marriage the right way this time. I feel the breath of Jesus on my face, and I couldn't bear to see him frown upon me. Passion is a very strong part of the flesh. I look forward to reading your book. I think perhaps he was talking about my book called Passion and Purity. Well, there's an amazing testimony, isn't it? A man who had to go into a mental hospital because of such deep depression, but through the simple acknowledgement by faith that God was in control, even over life and death, the life and death of his wife and his 5 children, that gave, he says, complete trust. And I knew that his plan for me and for everyone was the best. We're talking about power through weakness. Humans, all of us, are born with a fallen nature. It's the fruit of sin. We are self-centered and righteous and determined and preoccupied and lovers of ourselves. And it says in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. Are we really that bad? Well, try 1 Corinthians 13 for a simple test. We don't have time to go through that today, but 1 Corinthians 13 is the formula for the kind of love that a Christian is meant to offer to anyone, no matter whether that person hates you or loves you. There are 2 kingdoms, the kingdom of self and the kingdom of Christ. Which one will I crown? To whom do I belong? The phone rang as I was preparing this, and a dear friend told about a letter from a wife in Maine who was expecting number 9. She was on welfare. Her husband reads theology, calls himself a Christian, has no work, is very hateful, and the wife feels that she is in a position of utter helplessness. What can we say to someone who writes to us about these things? What can we possibly say except what the Bible says? We don't know the answers to your questions. We don't know all the ins and outs of your situation. But we know the one who knows, the Lord himself, and it is to him that we always want to point you. In Isaiah 61:3, it says that we are to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Now, of course, we can't bestow those things. It's the Lord who does it. But the Lord has sent us, hasn't he, to bind up the brokenhearted, as he sent Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. And so we are to do in this world what Jesus did. But it's impossible except in the strength of the Lord. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me." And yet he stands at the door and knocks. If we open, then we are inviting him not merely as a transient guest, but as Lord, Master, ruler of the kingdom. His kingdom now, not mine. My life is hidden in Christ, surrendered to Christ. Is yours? It's not difficult, you know. Just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Here was a man, weak to the point of desperation, needing professional help, going into a hospital, but then finding the answer, so simple, of utter surrender, utter acknowledgement that God was in control.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.